You remember what happened?
Hey, Chicago, you trying to talk trash to me? You got swept. Brooms.
On 1340 WKGN.
Sweeping the team makes such a statement of, hey, we're better than you. When it's a sweep, you leave no doubt. Nothing.
Drama.
There is nothing worse than losing a playoff game. And you've
game
given me that pain.
Game 7 is massive.
And you've given me that pain three times.
But
no
game
thanks.
7 becomes so massive.
Brooms out, bitch.
Just watch.
Sweep. Sweep. Hour three kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Drink what you truly want. Pick you up a 12-pack of the light. Delicious. Truly Hard Seltzer. Hour three headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Yes, thanks, John. It's good to be back. Have you been well?
Oh, it's Dave. What's up, Dave?
I'm doing okay. Just getting
long time no see. Did Cody
read the news for you?
Did Cody leave and hide his head in shame after I kicked his ass again in the Do You Know This Song music battle?
Well, he was a little bit upset, yes. He was a bit rattled at what had happened, and he should be back very soon. Here he is right now, actually. Thanks, Dave. Amazon says all warehouse workers will have face masks by next week. Apparently, the company is allowing its workers, I guess they've got some new masks in for them. So you'll be aware, Amazon, obviously, employees very upset. They don't think that their company takes very good care of them through this coronavirus crisis, and for good reason. Amazon known for poor treatment of its employees. But they will provide face masks, at least to all warehouse workers globally, by early next week and broaden the use of temperature checks as they try to slow the spread of the virus amidst their vast logistics workforce. Workforce.
Okay.
The announcement comes 10 days after Jeff Bezos acknowledged the company was having trouble filling orders for masks amid a widespread shortage of protective equipment. Now they have masks of their own. Sticking with the coronavirus here, some new information coming out from scientists. Apparently, the ocean is high risk for the spread of coronavirus. Beaches are, too.
Good thing that's where everyone was at for spring break.
Well, I mean, we knew that the crowded beaches would be a problem, right? But apparently, scientists are saying stay out of the water, too. I guess getting into the ocean water could make you prone to coronavirus. If I could read the article, it would certainly help with this headline and being able to tell you the story. In order to do that, I would need to be able to scroll down a little bit. And at this moment, I'm not able to do that.
Okay. Good headline.
But scientists are warning that the ocean, we're frozen up over here. We've got some serious problems. What are your thoughts on the ocean, John? You like the ocean? Pacific,
no.
Atlantic? What kind of guy
no.
are you?
None of them.
Never go in the ocean?
If I was in the Arctic, I might try my luck there just because I feel like most people don't get to swim in the Arctic Ocean at any point in their life. So I might be willing to try that.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I'm not really team ocean.
Just because of the creatures in
there? I got stung by a jellyfish one time, and that hurt.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I was kind of like, you know what? I already don't like the ocean that much because the salt gets in your nose, gets in your mouth, gets in your eyes.
I like the waves, though.
The waves are cool. The waves are cool, and I do sometimes go. If I'm at the ocean, I will go in there and bounce around for a little bit. You are correct, but if I'm at the beach, I like to be in the pool. Looking over the ocean, listening to the ocean, but I still like the pool more. But especially, like I said, the creatures in there just worry me.
There is just kind of a feeling you get, though, I think, in the ocean, just being a single one guy, just here I am in the ocean.
Yeah, I mean,
ocean.
You think you feel small when you look at the ocean.
Yeah.
Imagine how small you feel when you get inside the ocean.
Yeah.
And then you just keep floating further and further away from the coast. You're like, oh, no, can I swim this far?
Sometimes you ever been deep sea fishing?
No.
Yes. Yes, I have.
Woo! That was one of the worst experiences of my life when I went.
Did you get sick?
Oh, yeah. I get seasick already. And
yeah.
So
good idea to go
out there.
Good idea to go, by the way.
Yeah. Well, my parents were basically forcing me when I was younger. And they're like, here, just take this medicine. It will help. It did not help. And we were going out there when there was a tropical storm off the coast, so it's pouring rain, we got big waves, and I'm out here trying to deep sea fish. I was miserable.
Yeah.
And I panicked when I couldn't see land.
Did you catch anything?
I did.
Red snapper,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what we did when we went out there. Did they cook it on the boat for you?
No, we took it home. We packed it up and we took it home with us. But,
man, we had a guy that we would catch the snapper and he would literally, you know, skin them or get the scales off or fillet them, I guess is what you call it with fish. And he would cover them in batter and fry them up right there on the boat.
We couldn't do that. Our boat was too small, waves were too high, and it was pouring rain. So it was not the best cooking environment, so we had to just get back to shore.
You cannot get fish fresher than that.
They literally
were in the ocean, and in 20 minutes, they were in my mouth.
That's awesome.
I mean, it was cool. But,
you can't see land for the first time, that's kind of scary.
Yeah. It's kind of an interesting experience, though. You see things out there. You see dolphins and stuff, you know. There was, we went bow fishing for stingrays one time.
Man.
That was cool. You shoot them with a bow in the water.
I have a vendetta against them.
Yeah, because of the old Steve Irwin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm able to read the headline now. Kim Prather, she's a atmospheric chemist at the Scripps Institution on Oceanography.
Okay.
She said COVID-19 could enter the Pacific Ocean and transfer back into the air along the California coast, possibly infecting anyone who still dares to surf, swim, or simply take a walk on the beach. She said, I wouldn't go in the water if you paid me $1 million right now. Her research found the ocean contains all kinds of pathogens and constantly sprays the particles into the air. The scary part is she believes the coronavirus is light enough to float through the air much farther than we think. Translation, social distancing does not work with the ocean. It's not going to kill you to miss a few surfing sessions, but it could if you get out there and get in the wrong air. So apparently the air coming off the ocean could be full of coronavirus.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Specifically the Pacific Ocean. Maybe not the Atlantic. I don't know why the Pacific has this and the Atlantic is not as big of a deal, but that's interesting. There's a headline for you. NASCAR is debuting the next-gen car. They're delaying it until 2022 because of coronavirus. They were supposed to bring it up next year.
Uh-huh.
Their next-gen car or whatever.
But now they're waiting?
Nah, nobody cares about that.
I mean, I don't really care about that, but...
The iPhone SE 2020 is rumored to launch soon.
The what is?
New iPhone.
Oh.
SE 2020.
I'm going to set this one out. For the time being,
as our friend
please
of the show,
please don't blow your Trump bucks on the new iPhone.
That's what our friend of the show, Alan Bell, said. He said Apple was just waiting on the stimulus check to get approved.
Yeah, don't blow your Trump bucks.
We're looking at an above normal 2020 Atlantic hurricane season on tap. Researchers have forecasted.
Is Alan still a friend of the show? You still consider Alan a friend of the show?
He came on once, maybe twice.
He came on a couple times. I used to do radio hits with Alan back in 2015 when I was doing my own thing.
You don't consider him friend of the show?
He goes on our competition.
Have we asked him to come on? I mean, I imagine if we asked him, he'd come on.
Well, I don't think we can because now the other show does. Like he was supposed to.
You had him first, didn't you?
Right, and then he betrayed me by going on the people in the same time slot on the other station.
Did you ask him not to?
I didn't know about it until he just showed up.
So is Alan Bell enemy of the show now?
I'm not going to claim an enemy of the show, but if I want an NFL reporter, I'm getting the well-known and very trusted Jordan DeJani. He's who I trust with my NFL takes.
Yeah, me too. We have a closer relationship with him anyway.
I trust his NFL takes.
Right. But Alan kind of groomed him. He worked under Alan
for a
while.
Have you ever heard the student becomes a teacher?
I've heard that phrase before,
okay.
Yes.
The student becomes a teacher. I'm not, you know, I love Alan. I'm just saying, I don't know if I consider him a friend of the show.
All right. Noted.
Did you know that he went on the other
Alan
station
Bell,
at the
no
same
longer
time
friend
show?
Of the show. Enemy of the show,
Did
Alan
you know
Bell.
He went on the other station at the same time?
No, but I mean, I wouldn't, I'm not like upset with him.
Okay.
He's a guy that probably does a lot of radio hits.
I'll tell you who a friend of the show is. That's Jesse. You don't see Jesse going on.
No, Jesse doesn't.
That's a true friend of the show.
Yeah. We have a few friends of the show.
A couple. We don't have many.
Not many. There's a couple.
Yeah.
Couple to three. The HBO, or just HBO. I think they go by just HBO, not the HBO.
Yeah.
But they have announced that they're going to stream 500 hours.
HBO, though, because it stands for
the Home Broadcasting Office.
Oh, is it Broadcasting Office? That makes sense.
Home Box Office.
I was thinking Home Box Office, but is it Broadcasting
Office? Yeah, it's Home Box Office. Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
It should be the Home Box Office.
The Home Box Office.
It should be the HBO.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be. Well, we'll start calling it that. The HBO is set to stream 500 hours of programming for free, which is a little upsetting to people that are currently paying their HBO subscription.
Yeah, it makes me want to cancel my subscription.
Yeah, Sopranos is included.
Yeah.
And also The Wire. Like, they're not including their newer shows, I guess, but, like, older shows, classic shows like The Wire and Sopranos will both be included because of COVID-19 for some reason.
Yeah, cool, I guess. They're not giving you, like, Game of Thrones, but, like, they're giving you pretty much everything else.
Yeah, I feel like this coronavirus is just making people change for the sake of changing. Like, if you, even if you're not affected by it, you got to do something different. You know what I mean? Like, if you're like a company that
you just
makes,
gotta look like you're looking at looking to try to do something.
You just gotta announce that you're taking it seriously, no matter what. But anyway, the Kraft family used the Patriots team plane to shuttle 1.7 million N95 masks from China to Boston, the Wall Street Journal reports. So Robert Kraft used the Patriots plane to shuttle 1.7 million. N95 masks from China to Boston. Jemele Hill, she did not like it. She had a take that was, this is where I remind people that Robert Kraft is friends with Donald Trump and gave to his campaign. And she was getting blasted for her take.
It seemed like just a really miserable thing to point out at a time when somebody was trying to help.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty much the consensus.
Like,
there.
Robert Kraft didn't get Donald Trump elected, if that's like the method she was going.
Yeah, it was a kind of an odd take, but she's getting criticized for it. Shenzhen, have you heard of Shenzhen?
For Shinsuke.
Shenzhen is a city in southeastern China. It's one of those big cities
that we don't know
there's
about.
There's like several million people there. It has become the first city in the country to ban consumption of cats and dogs. Its government announced.
Good.
Under the new rules, the government says it will be illegal to eat animals raised as pets in Shenzhen.
Well, that's good. That's good.
So that's, I don't know. I mean, you know, they do things different culture. I mean.
I feel like they need to stop the other stuff, too. Like the non-pets, the bats.
Do you have a problem with them eating cats, though? Like if that's a cultural thing, that's what they've always done. I mean,
I'm not going to do it. Like, what do you mean? Do I have a problem with it?
Well, I don't know.
Do I want us to like go to war to stop them?
No,
or,
I
like,
mean, some people are just very upset by it.
I think it's gross. Like, I mean, we think of pets as animals, but I'm sure some people think us eating cows is gross. Like,
right. That's what I'm.
India really likes their cows. They hold the cow to be sacred. So I mean, they probably think it's bad the way we do cows. I'm not going to do it. I judge a little bit. I think it's gross. I think it's wrong, but, you know, it's not me, so. What they eat doesn't make me poop, so to speak. You ever heard that saying? Basically, it's a way to say mind your business. What you eat doesn't make me bleep. Where's the love?
I don't know if I've heard that one.
It's a way to think about things. What you do has no effect on me and my body.
All right. Mike Francesa is going after the Twitter account Funhouse on the internet. I don't know if people are familiar. It's one of my favorite accounts. It's the at back after this. It's basically an account that got...
it makes fun of Francesa.
Yeah, it makes fun of Mike Francesa. It got prominent doing so. It's got like over 90,000 followers.
No, it's famous just for making fun of Francesca.
Well, he's moved on to now he posts clips of Cowherd and clips of Mad
now
Dog.
Now he just makes fun
of
other people, yeah.
Yeah, but it started out just making fun of Mike Francesa. And Mike Francesa came out yesterday after one of the videos, it was audio and video. It's got over 2.5 million views now. Came from Francesa going on a rant about Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
And now he has basically said that no one has permission to reproduce his videos without the express written consent of WFAN.
Does he think he's the NFL? Because that you know, no, you, you are prohibited from using redistributing this is prohibited.
Yeah, he's trying to shut down this Funhouse account, basically.
Wow.
And a lot of people are saying that's the only reason that Mike has even been relevant.
Yeah, no, I mean, it does a lot to get Mike in front of my voice, like in front of my eyes, excuse me. Like,
yeah.
That's the only time I hear his takes, really.
It's honestly one of my favorite accounts. Like, I wouldn't see Mike if it weren't for that account. But anyway, they started the hashtag unfollow Francesa after Mike went on his rant about it. And he's lost like 3,000 followers already because of this movement. But I don't know if people care about that. That's one of my favorite accounts.
All right, go back to headlines. We'll talk some WrestleMania. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
My name is John Reed, and for years people...
All right, Cam, what's your level of interest in WrestleMania this weekend? It's a Saturday-Sunday doubleheader.
First time I heard about it was when you mentioned it earlier in the show.
Okay, does that mean that's a one then, I guess?
Yeah, I'll give you a one. I'll give you a three just because there's no sports on.
Let's stay on topic, please. If I ask you a question, let's answer it with the parameters, okay? I said 1 to 10,
okay,
so.
Okay, yeah, 3.
Okay, thank you. Instead of you saying that, it's the first time you heard about it, you could just say one, A simple no would have been fine. You can get a free, you can watch it for free.
Ooh.
You can just create a WWE account and they give you a free trial, so you get a month for free, so you can watch WrestleMania. So you can have some content on Saturday and Sunday. Cody, where are you at?
Do we know which matches are going to be on which days?
The only one I know for sure that they've said for sure is Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins are on Saturday. He specifically said that in his promo was like Saturday night. Basically, I'm going to.
Okay.
Make my moment or whatever.
I'm looking at the card. We got a total of 16 matches. Well, Roman Reigns is out, right? So is Goldberg going to wrestle somebody else?
I would imagine that Goldberg already has his $4 or $5 million appearance fee paid so that he will show up. They will find a way tonight on SmackDown to get Roman Reigns out of the match and to get someone else in it. The question of who it's going to be, that is what we're kind of waiting on.
I tell you what, I'll give this. You're asking interest level?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you all the way up to a 4.
Okay, wow. A 4, that's pretty good.
Normally I wouldn't be that high, but it looks like there's a few decent matches. I know Rick will have it on the TV. Or will he have it on the TV? Because somebody said something about pay-per-view only. Was that a thing?
That had been rumored for a while, but that was rumored before like there were no fans in attendance. So, like, I don't think you can do that right now when people need content. Like, people need content, but no casuals especially, are going to pay $50, $60 on pay-per-view. I watch the product 2 shows a week, and I'm not paying $50 or $60 for it. Like, if they went pay-per-view only, like, I'm not watching. I would cancel the network. They wouldn't get my $10 a month anymore, and I would be done with them if they did that. If they waited till the last minute to say, hey, this thing you've been paying for, it's no longer getting what we told you, I would be out.
So we're going to watch it on the network, assuming it's on the network.
Yeah, I would think that they should have done something with Fox or Fox Sports 1 and just put it on regular TV.
Well,
that's what I thought. I thought that would have been more likely than going pay-per-view only, was try to put it in primetime and get a mainstream audience on one of the nights.
Well, is it gonna be weird with the no fans?
It is like, gonna be weird. It is gonna be weird. So, and wrestling is weirder than other sports, I think.
With no fans. I mean, it's gonna be hard to do the storylines and all that, right? Like without the shock, without the crowd there. I mean, it just.
But you have to do it. Like they can't delay like other TV shows and other sports leagues, like because in the land of like fake fighting, like they have to do a weekly show and like they have to have some wrestling matches and they have to have some blow-offs of these beefs that have been blowing up because they build it the whole time of I just want to get my hands on somebody, not I want to get my hands on somebody in front of all the crowds, type in front of the fans, you know?
Yeah, because of the lack of fans, my interest is lowered, but because there's nothing else on, it's raised. So I'm going to even it out at about a 4 out of 10. And like I said, I know Rick will have it on the TV, and it looks like there should be some good matches. Brock Lesnar, Drew McIntyre, John Cena, and The Fiend. Apparently Undertaker is still wrestling.
The Undertaker is still wrestling, yes.
He's in a Boneyard match against AJ Styles.
It's basically just a Buried Alive match, but yeah, I guess they're going to do it in a Boneyard. You remember the Buried Alive matches?
Oh, yeah.
You got to throw them in and put the dirt over them.
Edge Orton, last man standing match.
That has a chance to be really good in an empty arena. I would imagine they go all over the place in that one.
Yeah, that could probably be good. So there's a few things, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing. Becky Lynch, she's going to be in action. I like seeing her in action.
Apparently they are going to show it on the Fox Sports app.
The app, huh?
Yeah, not on TV, but on the app for people.
Bobby Lashley, I always like seeing him.
He's not really doing much.
I like seeing him, though. I just like looking at
him. He's a physical specimen.
Yeah, he is.
He is a physical specimen.
Yeah, so I guess I'll stick with a 4.
Okay. That's fun.
Where are you at?
That's higher than I thought. I mean, I'm not much higher, honestly. It's weird. They've really, it sucks for them, and from a business and wrestling standpoint, they've really had to knock out of gear the last month. Like, they've put on shows, but the shows have all featured like 2 or 3 re-airs of other matches from like the past. They've only put on like 2 new wrestling matches, 3 wrestling matches per 3 hours. So like, they've really knocked out of gear. So this is going to be weird. This is going to be weird, and my interest level is, my excitement level is very low. My curiosity level is probably a little bit higher just to see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Like how much it's affected by not having a crowd. Do they try to do anything special, anything different? And I got to be honest, there's not really any matches I'm dying to see either. So this is going to, my interest is low, like 5. Like I'm only 1 ahead of you probably.
Okay.
And plus, like now that we know that there's 2 nights, like this thing is definitely going to be 8 hours. And that's a lot of wrestling to watch over the weekend.
Yeah, it does seem like a little much, doesn't it?
To me, it does. And I like wrestling. The one I'm probably looking forward to most, like, I think Edge and Randy Orton, they've done something cool with their program. They could have a good match. And I want to see what they do with Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler. Those are the two. And I guess Cena and The Fiend will be kind of cool, but they had talked about, you know, if they were going to have no fans, doing it like in a Hooters, but then Hooters closed down. So
doing it in a Hooters.
That's where Bray Wyatt said he wanted to fight John Cena, was in a Hooters.
Okay.
But apparently that's not happening. So,
you know, the Hooters girls are still wearing their, even with the curbside to go, they're still wearing their skimpy.
Do we respect that, or do we say like that's messed up?
It seems,
or just
a little,
overkill. Like, I mean,
it seems overkill, yeah, to me. But they are, because I went and got some wings the other day.
You got to live the gimmick,
and
I guess.
Yeah, the girl came out. I was surprised to see. I was like, why doesn't she dress normal? What, they're just like, I guess they want to keep doing their branding.
The thing about a crisis is you got to have to move on. You can't let the crisis defeat you.
I guess so.
You have to continue with your way of life.
Yeah, I was surprised.
You could let them just wear regular clothes for a little bit, right?
She was in the whole outfit.
Did you tip her?
It was curbside to go, so.
You didn't tip her?
Yeah, so yeah, I did. I definitely did.
Are you lying?
I tip on curbside to go.
Did you or didn't you? Tell the truth.
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I mean, the Sonic people bring you curbside to go, don't they?
I mean, you don't tip the Sonic people either?
Why is it? Let me ask you this.
Oh, my God.
Why is it that the Sonic people, if you tip them, it's like 50 cents or a dollar? But, like, normal waiter or waitress brings you food to the side of your car, you tip them like $5. I've never understood that. What are they doing that's so much more than what the Sonic workers are doing?
Making $2.30 an hour.
So are the Sonic workers.
I don't think that's the case. I think if you work at Sonic, you make...
You think they're making minimum wage?
I'd say you're making minimum wage at least, and the tips go on top of that.
Maybe so. I feel like they're
so
working...
Like the money thing is probably a big part of it.
Yeah, I think that's what they make at Sonic.
Well,
yeah,
I still feel like...
Who the hell would sign up to work at Sonic as a waitress to only make $2.50 an hour when you could go work at a restaurant and do that and make more money. So
yeah, that's a good point. I still feel like they're working harder, though.
I feel like that really just messed up your whole
theory there, what they do different.
Like, it's money.
Right, sure. But I still think that the Sonic workers are working a lot harder.
And the to-go people. Than usually
a
to-go have
to, person.
Usually the to-go people have to get the order ready and stuff, too, and do things like that.
They put a carton box in a bag. I mean, throw some
plasticware
in there. I'm
sure you asked for some ranch, too. I'm sure you wanted your ranch with your wings, right? Don't lie. You wanted a ranch.
I mean, I got a ranch, but more for the carrots.
I had to get your carrots ready, too, I guess, huh?
I mean, those Sonic workers.
Even during a crisis, you didn't tip the to-go people.
I tipped the to-go
people. I don't think you did.
I tipped the to-go people.
I don't think you did.
I'm just saying the Sonic workers, I don't tip them much. The Sonic workers, I think, are working harder. That's my take. They're going to way more cars. They're putting way more steps in. I think they're working harder than the Hooters to-go girl, than the Hooters curbside girl.
Okay.
Those Sonic people are running. I mean, they're constantly running. You agree? Disagree?
With what?
I think that the Sonic, a Sonic worker in general works harder than a Hooters curbside to go worker. Or it doesn't have to be Hooters, Applebee's or whatever, curbside to go.
Well, usually in regular times, I'd say the people doing the curbside to go are probably also doubling as a host and hostess or hostess, I would imagine.
You
I don't know.
So?
I don't know who. I've never dealt with anybody.
That's
who
another thing. That's like the easiest job ever.
There's some unknown politics in the host and hosting jobs, though.
What do you mean?
Who are you setting? Who are you giving the first dibs on the tables?
They're literally just walking somebody to a table and hand them a menu.
You
got to
map it out, though. No, you got to make sure the waitresses all have even numbers of tables.
You do risk having waiters and waitresses mad at you,
yeah,
I guess.
You have to give them – you have to – I mean, I'm sure that
Why does Jennifer have three tables and I've only got one table?
Right, especially – I'm sure there's some profiling there, too, of like, oh – you gave me the high school kids again, but you gave them the family of four. Oh, wow, that's messed up. Because you know you don't want the high school or college kids. Because, like, Cody, they're not going to give you a good tip.
They don't tip.
Right.
Excuse me. I tip extremely well. And
you just
I
said
always
you didn't tip the to-go people.
You're not going to come at me for tipping the guy that I tip based on the service I receive. That's your whole thing.
I do.
You tip based on service you receive.
First of all, I always tip
20%.
Before?
Always.
You just said you didn't tip the Hooters girl.
I tip the Hooters girl, but I'm not going to tip her the same as I would an actual waitress or waiter.
You're acting like you're going to tip the people at Sonic more than the Hooters girl.
I think they're working harder.
If they're wearing the rollerblades, maybe. If they know any tricks on the rollerblades.
If they bring me an order to my car and that's all I do and then they walk back in, I'll give them a couple bucks.
Not during a crisis.
That's it.
Not during a crisis. Times are different now.
Times are tough for all of us.
I gave the Chick-fil-A driver that did delivery $5 before he even left.
Times are hard for all of us.
It took like 45 minutes to get here. If I would have waited and did it on service, he would have gotten less. But I would have had threw a five their way. It's only a mile and a half away. Still took 45 minutes somehow. But it's a crisis, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We'll power rank our best WrestleMania moments coming up after the break.
Saturdays are for seltzers.
Rankings.
Go, go, power.
Rankings.
Go, go, power.
Rankings.
Power.
Rankings.
All right, it's WrestleMania weekend. Not a lot going on in sports, so we're going to power rank our favorite WrestleMania moments. Cody, you got your list ready?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Now, I just want to say before I do my list that I was a big Shawn Michaels fan, so there's going to be a lot of Shawn Michaels. And again, these are mainly just moments that I remember watching.
Okay.
So
When I think of you and I picture you, if I think of who would your favorite wrestler be, it would be Shawn Michaels, just a sexy boy. Sexy boy, oi.
Number five match, I'm going with Mick Foley versus Edge.
Oh.
The hardcore match at WrestleMania 22. Are you familiar with that one?
Yeah.
Edge, they hated each other. They had a real nasty rivalry going on. Edge got the barbed wire baseball bat after Foley and was just grinding it across his forehead. There ended up being a table set on fire. I mean, this was gruesome. This had some ECW feel to it. And obviously with Mick Foley involved, that's bound to happen. One of the toughest guys ever. Mick Foley, I mean, he said even – he had a quote coming out of the match. He said, "Even as the referee counted three and I was surrounded by this strange potpourri of charred hair, flesh, and blood, I was very cognizant of the fact that this was my WrestleMania moment. I didn't need the word legend in my nickname to be considered a legend, although it never hurts." So Mick Foley considers that his WrestleMania moment.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess never main evented, or was that the main event?
No, it wasn't the main event.
Right, so never main evented, but that was this big moment with Edge in a championship match, and one of the coolest spots of WrestleMania, Edge spearing him through a burning table.
Yeah.
Let Mick Foley, like, bring his career kind of full circle in terms of him being someone who made his living through hardcore matches, you know, touring Japan with Terry Funk.
Right.
To do that, you know, at the showcase of immortals, to go through a burning table. I don't think WWE would do that anymore with the responsibility they feel like they need to have for the kids.
Number four, I go with Stone Cold versus The Rock at WrestleMania 19. Now, again, I know it wasn't as good as the WrestleMania 17 match, but I didn't watch the WrestleMania 17 match live. 19 was the first time I saw them in a WrestleMania match, so it just... It had a bigger impact on me because it was the first, you know, I didn't watch the first one. So, or I guess the first two. There was it 16, 17? Did they wrestle back to back WrestleManias? And then at 19, Rock Austin? Because they had three, right?
I'm pretty sure the Rock Austin was 21 was the last one. And I think 20 was the one where Vince, when he came back from his neck injury. I think. Right? Didn't he come back and beat the Rock?
Are you saying WrestleMania 20?
No. I'm going by years is what I'm going with. I go by like the year it happened in.
Oh, I don't know.
Like WrestleMania in 2001 is when Stone Cold came back from his neck injury.
That was WrestleMania 19.
And beat The Rock. Okay.
Well,
yeah,
no.
That was 17.
That was 17. Yeah. So
that was whenever Austin revealed he was working with McMahon.
Okay.
McMahon had helped him screw The Rock over and get his belt back.
WrestleMania 19 was Austin's final match.
That's the one The Rock beat him and retired him. Yeah.
Yeah, and then The Rock came out the next night on Raw. He said, "The Rock has done it all." And then they started a little storyline with Goldberg. And,
okay.
You know. But anyway, that was when The Rock had to use three rock bottoms to beat Austin. And I always remember that one, WrestleMania 19. So, again, maybe not as good as the others, not as iconic of a match, but it's the one I remember. So I put that one at number four on my list, just personally. Number three, I had The Rock and Hogan at WrestleMania 18.
Okay.
The electricity of that in that room.
Man, this is hard.
Just I think we've all seen the clip go around of when they were just, you know, you had the ultimate.
I just had to do something really tough for me to do.
You did?
Yeah. I had to take away what I thought was going to be my favorite moment, but when I actually started thinking about the other ones, I had to take it off. Go ahead.
Okay, and then number two, I had the Shawn Michaels Undertaker career versus streak match, when obviously the Undertaker kept his streak going, ended Shawn Michaels' career. I believe he had to tombstone him multiple times.
Yeah.
Shawn just wouldn't die. He was crawling up, grabbing at Undertaker's belt, basically begging for – Or not begging, but saying, "Give me some more."
You're talking about
I want some more.
Taker Michaels 2, right?
The streak versus career.
Yeah, Shawn's
the other match is regarded as a better match.
The one before, they're both regarded as classics.
Yeah, they were back to back years.
Yeah.
And
then he came back the next year and they ran it back. Yeah, streak versus career.
So obviously, loving Shawn.
That was pretty good long term storytelling too.
Yeah, and then number one for me, I go back to the Iron Man match, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, the 60-minute Iron Man match. I wasn't watching that one live.
I was. But that was the first. That's the first wrestling moment I really remember.
Yeah, when Shawn comes down on the zipline.
That's what I had to take off. I loved that as a kid when Shawn Michaels came ziplining down.
Yeah.
But I had to take it off. But my brother was a big Bret Hart fan, and I was a big Shawn Michaels fan. And I remember him crying in the ring.
Yeah.
As Jim Ross says, the boyhood dream has been realized.
Yeah.
He's the champion.
I didn't see it live, but I watched the whole match.
My brother, like I said, a little bit older. 6 years older, he went over to his friend's house to watch. I got to tag along, so That's the only reason I got to watch, but that's the first pay-per-view I got to watch live, and I remember that one very fondly. But I took it off my moments. I took it off my moments.
You took that off?
Yeah.
Really?
I did.
Oh, man. You must have five good ones.
The match was an hour long, bro. And then it went into overtime. It was just a long match.
Yeah. I liked it, though.
But I enjoyed that storyline a lot because of the training videos that accompanied it. Like, they took Shawn Michaels off TV, and he was basically, like, thought to be going to the dungeon, going to a dojo to find himself and train for this match to get ready.
Yeah. Well, with it being an hour long.
He hadn't seen him on TV for a while, and then he came down, and his manager, the guy that, like, his trainer that was training him, just came down to the ring for him, and you're like, did Michaels not show up? And as a kid, I'm like, oh, my God, where's he at? And then he gets up on the ropes and points to the sky.
And
then Michaels comes ziplining down, looking sharp, and
with
it's all white.
The white tights.
Looking like the white Power Ranger, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking like the white Power Ranger.
That's my number one.
You know what? I'm putting that. No, I'm not.
Man.
I loved it as a kid. Number five for me, it's one of the best gifs that we've been given from wrestling. And the storytelling, and this was also great in the moments, just really pure and can hit you. Cam's over there rolling his eyes. We know it's fake, Cam. We get it. We know it's fake. But it can still hit you in the feels if you just buy into the storytelling.
Still real to me, damn it.
Okay? Shawn Michaels, number five, retiring Ric Flair. I'm sorry. I love you. Sweet Chin Music. Knocked him down. Pinned him. Because it was like the next time Ric Flair lost, he had to retire, Cam. They were trying to make this old man retire.
This is a guy that's been around for years, 30 years.
You know
years.
Rick. I
you know
Rick.
Ric Flair. Woo! Ric Flair transcends wrestling.
Nature boy, yeah.
But, like, he's old. He's, like, kept trying to wrestle. Like, you got to, you know, like, it's time to hang him up. So, like, they had a stipulation. The next time he lost, he had to retire. But then he just kept winning all these matches until he got to WrestleMania against Michaels. And Michaels had been telling him, it's time for you to go. I'm going to have to put you down like old Yeller, basically. So they have a 20-minute match as Ric Flair's old, but they're still going 20 minutes because Ric Flair is one of the best workers of all time. And at the end, like, he's just, after 20 minutes, Cam, he's just completely spent. He can barely move. And he's down on his knees, bleeding, and just looking up like, come on. And then Michael's like, I'm sorry. I love you. Sweet Chin Music. 1, 2, 3, right in the middle of the ring. Ric Flair is retired. As his, you know, Shawn Michaels said that was his boyhood idol. And he got to retire him. That's number five.
I'm putting that. I should probably put that on my list.
I mean, especially if you're a Shawn Michaels guy. But
I should
either
probably
way,
work that in.
Number four for me, I got Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit. This is a thing that doesn't really get played a lot back in time because, you know, Chris Benoit killed his whole family.
He did, yes.
But Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit were kind of a they were a duo that was in the, you know, WCW before they got to WWF, and they were just thought of as kind of afterthoughts. But they were just really good wrestlers that didn't necessarily have the size to be main eventers, but they were just so good that they just rose to the top because people demanded it. And at the end of WrestleMania 20 in Madison Square Garden, they both ended the night as champions. Mm-hmm. And Chris Benoit wins the title from a
Triple H
threat.
And Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, triple threat against Triple H and Shawn Michaels. And, you know, Benoit, you never would have thought that guy would go over against those two.
He
but
made
he
Triple
won.
H tap in the crippler crossface.
Exactly. Exactly. And then Eddie Guerrero, you know, guys that had been going on the road together forever that were always told they weren't good enough, he runs down to help celebrate. His confetti's falling, and they're hugging each other and crying. And then Chris Benoit killed his whole family, so we don't really celebrate that one anymore. But that was a really cool moment.
Did Eddie Guerrero beat Kurt Angle at WrestleMania?
I believe so.
Yeah, that was WrestleMania.
By lying, 20. Cheating, and stealing.
Yeah. Yeah, which that was the whole gimmick with Eddie Guerrero.
And I kind of – it's a similar storyline, but yeah, number three, this is what kind of got me back into wrestling. So this holds a place in my heart. But what they did at WrestleMania 30 with Daniel Bryan – where he was kind of like Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit, they had to run it back a little bit. He was told he was too small, not good enough, but the fans just pushed him to the top, and he had to beat Triple H early in the night to get in a triple threat match. He did that, and then he makes Batista tap in the middle of the ring as the little guy ends the show with the Yes Movement. That was pretty cool and one of my favorite moments of my new fandom.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two and number one goes to the same guy. Stone Cold, number two, whenever he finally won the championship with the help of Mike Tyson. I remember as a kid, the swerve there because you thought Tyson was going to be on the side of DX, but no, he helped. He helped Stone Cold. And Stone Cold won his first title, and they walk off together, Mike Tyson raising his arm. And as a kid who really thought wrestling was real back in, you know, this was, what, WrestleMania 14, so that had been like 97?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow. Mike Tyson. Everyone thinks he's the baddest man on the planet, but he's teamed up with Stone Cold, the real baddest man on the planet.
And he beat Michaels?
Yeah, he beat Michaels, to win his first championship. Number one for me, though, this storytelling gives it the number one spot for me. I go with Michaels as well, or I go with Stone Cold again. Him versus Bret Hart at WrestleMania 13, the double turn. Going into the match cam, Bret Hart was the good guy. Stone Cold was this bad guy, but they knew he had superstar potential. And, you know, throughout the match, you could tell Bret Hart's just getting a little bit more fed up with not being able to beat Stone Cold, so he starts cheating. He hits him in the head with the bell. He's trying to choke him with a cord. It's a submission match, and right, his finisher cam was the sharpshooter, which is a submission move.
Great submission move.
And Stone Cold didn't really have one, so you're like, how's he going to make him tap? Or how's he going to beat Bret Hart? And plus, Stone Cold is supposed to be this big badass. Like, is he really going to tap out? So who's going to win? Well, they played it perfectly. Bret Hart cheats, keeps cheating, eventually locks in the sharpshooter on Stone Cold in the middle of the ring. Stone Cold, being the badass he was, Cam, wouldn't tap. So he just passes out in a pool of his own blood. He's got blood running down his face. He can't get to the ropes. He can't go anywhere. So he just stays there until the pain just knocks him all the way out, and he just face down in a pool of his own blood. Then the next day, a superstar had been born. Next thing, he was the all-time babyface. Like, everyone was on his side. That's my favorite WrestleMania moment. The picture is just so iconic for me of Stone Cold.
The pouring blood.
Just the blood pouring all over his face and the aftermath of him just face down in the ring. That's my favorite WrestleMania moment. I know some people are probably screaming about Hulk Hogan slamming Andre the Giant, but I wasn't born. And a body slam doesn't seem that impressive, to be honest. I get at the time it probably was with Andre the Giant, but not that impressive to me.
It's WrestleMania 3, I mean.
Right. All due respect to that.
Ago. Long time ago.
Some Ultimate Warrior stuff, too, I'm sure, but
yeah.
That's my list.
Yeah, like that old Intercontinental Championship match. Ooh. That's always the Ricky the Steamboat.
Yeah,
and
that was just
Ultimate
a great match.
Warrior,
there was no
right?
real moment there.
Yeah,
Steamboat and Savage is what that.
Steamboat,
yeah,
and Savage.
Steamboat and Savage. Warrior couldn't work. He just his matches were very short.
Yeah,
those are my favorite moments. We'll do last call on the other side.
Drink what you truly want with light and refreshing Truly.
Last call brought to you by our friends at Volunteer Vodka, award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee. Stop by and pick you up a bottle this weekend. All right, Cody, let's pump the brakes. Let's keep rolling. You're up first since I won in the music challenge, in case you forgot.
All right, I got
victorious again.
Yeah. Victorious again. I got an update on Joe Exotic and potential.
Okay, I'll stop. I don't care about Joe Exotic, but I know the